From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
I haven't talked to Brandon Steiner in a little while, and we had some catching up to do.
How you doing? What's happening, man?
Well, you know, same old for me, but it's not same old for you.
Well, it never is same old. You just think it is. Unfortunately, nothing is the same old, but sometimes you get into the slow lane, you get comfortable, and you think it's the same old, but everything around you is changing. Everything around you is moving quick.
Ain't that the truth? Here's the thing. Brandon Steiner is a big name in the sports business world. He's been an innovator in the collectible space for decades. Like, he's the guy who managed to land the deal selling off parts of the old Yankee Stadium. He's always thoughtful, always enthusiastic. But the last time I saw Brandon, we literally were just passing each other at a conference called Next Gen Summit last summer, and his company had just been sold. I didn't really know what that had meant for him, but Brandon seemed bummed, like really, really down. As it turns out, he had lost control of the company he'd run for decades, the company that was literally named after him. Brandon Steiner had lost control of Steiner. And ever since I saw him that day, I wondered, what was that like? What was going on? And what do you even do after that?
I feel like now's the time to tell the story because I want to know what happened, how you feel about it, and then how you decided to move forward, what your next steps were. I think people hearing you think through that will be really useful.
Well, that's true. I wish I had somebody to share that with, 7 months ago. But there's a lot of trials and tribulations. Do you want to go through? You want to ask me anything, or how do you want to break this down?
Brandon is ready to talk in detail for the first time about what it was like recovering from this, because he is no longer just sitting there feeling bad for himself. Actually, he didn't do that for very long at all. Brandon did what everyone should do, no matter the setback. He dusted himself off, found a new vision to be excited about, and started executing. He has a new company called Collectible Exchange, which I'll tell you more about later, and a really healthy perspective about how to find new passion and new purpose and new energy, even late in your career. So on this episode of Problem Solvers, I'm going to share this conversation with you. I want you to hear from a guy who's been through it and knows how to find light on the other side.
It's a little bit of an ugly, complicated story, but frankly, I think everything happens for the better.
Want to gain a perspective like that? It is coming up after the break. What if you could spend less time juggling emails and meetings and status updates and more time doing the work that matters most to your team? You know, like pushing boundaries and solving problems and making something real. Whether you're planning your next marketing campaign, launching new products, or onboarding new vendors, Asana reduces the busy work that wastes time. Asana is a web and mobile application designed to help teams organize, track, and manage their work. And that means Asana gives teams clarity so they understand their plans and goals and how they will achieve them together. And as anyone who's managed a team knows, a team that has true visibility into the plan is a team that is far more excited to go and execute that plan. From small companies to global enterprises, more than a million teams across 195 countries use Asana to plan, organize, and execute their work. Learn more and try Asana for free. Visit asana.com, that is ASANA.com, to get started.
And now, our next sponsor.
If you like problem solvers, and I assume you do, then I want to let you know about another great business podcast that I'm sure you'll enjoy. It's called Rocketship.fm. Rocketship.fm has brought stories and advice to the startup community for the last 6 years and has just launched season 8 of the show, which will focus on something absolutely perfect for people who love solving problems. It is a season all about product failures. It happens to everyone, and yet no one wants to talk about it until now. They are diving into the backstory of some of the biggest product mistakes from eBay, Google Plus, remember that, Amazon, American Airlines, and more. Hear from people who were behind the scenes, what they learned, and in some cases, what it took to actually turn things around. In a world where you're always hearing about what worked, what about companies that didn't? Subscribe to Rocketship.fm today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, we're back. So, quick background. In 1987, Brandon created a sports marketing company called Steiner Associates. It worked with major athletes to book them for stuff like speaking gigs and corporate appearances, and by the late 90s, he had dozens of employees and represented many of the biggest names in New York. The company was renamed Steiner Sports, and then he expanded into the collectibles market, managing the marketplace of signed jerseys and balls and all the other stuff that people collect. In the year 2000, Brandon sold his company to a gigantic global marketing company called Omnicom, where, well, Brandon is honest about it.
I made a lot of money. I traveled the world, my family. I had a lot of freedom, probably more freedom than I wanted.
But he also got restless. He was doing the same thing for too long. He wanted to make changes to his company that his parent company, Omnicom, just didn't want.
I just felt like there was something different that people were looking for, something much more tech-driven. I'm not a big tech guy, but I'm learning, and I wanted to create a tech thing, and they didn't view me as a tech guy, but I wanted to create more of a tech environment with my company.
So Brandon tried to buy his company back from Omnicom. And then as that was happening, one day he got a phone call.
I got a call from my boss on a Friday night, and they just said they decided to sell the company a different direction and weren't going to sell it back to me.
Brandon says there were a lot of dramatic news reports about this at the time, and indeed, I found at least one saying that he was escorted out of the building by armed guards. But Brandon says most of the press coverage was wrong. It was simple and businesslike, the end of things. The boss just called and said, hey, your company's been sold to someone else. They sold it to another enormous company called Fanatics, and Fanatics had no use for Brandon. So that was it. Brandon had lost full control of his company, and he was now out on his own, which he admits didn't come as a total shock. It was always just a question of when.
You are rolling the dice that one day something like this could happen. I mean, I think you read any book that talks about selling and buying your company, there's always the risk that the company that buys you doesn't want to retain you or doesn't keep the company the way you kind of thought it was going to be kept.
And Brandon did think a lot about that when he first decided to sell. I mean, he knew he could lose control of his company, but he decided to do it anyway because the upside was just too strong. He'd have a lot of financial freedom. He'd be able to spend more time with his family. It just seemed worth it, even though, you know, he knew that one day the story wouldn't end well.
It makes you wonder, like, well, what's the end goal of anything, right? I mean, what's the end goal of it?
And well, the thing that you have to think about is that, you know, business is a game. You know, it's a game. But the thing you got to remember is that nobody wins. There's no winner of this game. Unlike life is a game, but you can win in life by being a good person, by being a good, you know, husband, and you could win by being a great dad. In business, there's never a winner because there's always something more. There's always a different perspective to have more, do more, own more, be more powerful. So, you know, you have to be careful because you get caught up in this game that you're used to playing, and you have to remember that no one ever wins. So you have to really get full enjoyment, fulfillment, have purpose, and be able to do something good with the winnings from this game because the game never gets won.
I told you, Brandon is all about perspective. So, all right, let's really dive into this. What is it like to lose control of your company and plan what comes next? Because, like I told you, Brandon looked absolutely miserable right after he sold his company. He looked bereft.
How long did you just stay miserable before you started thinking of a new plan?
I mean, you know, sometimes when you're miserable, it doesn't mean you're still in your heart and soul. You know what happened was the best thing for you. And I can honestly say that 10 minutes after this happened, I was devastated. And at the same time, knew that I was jubilant, knowing that I needed this freedom. I mean, I've got every motivational quote when you kind of get a little set back. But I think the most accurate thing that kind of motivated me was that most things that are great that happen to you start with something bad. And I think there's some truth to that. I mean, not everything, but a lot of great things that you end up getting yourself into start with something bad or something devastating or something that really is a bit of a setback. And I kind of held on to that because I didn't look at this as a major setback. I had a great run with a phenomenal top company, I mean, for 20 years, which most people don't have.
So Brandon took a few months to decompress and to think. He thought about what he had lost and what he had gained. And yes, he had lost his namesake company, but he also gained freedom. He was no longer working for someone else, and he was now free to explore the things that excited him the most. I mean, remember when Brandon was working at Omnicom and wanted to get more into tech, but his parent company wasn't into it? Brandon could do that now. So to start, he went back to basics. He asked himself, what am I excited about?
I went back and started thinking about the things I enjoyed the most and the things I was good at and the best at and what the company was good at, because I didn't want to take, you know, sometimes your old habits die hard. Like I was thinking, like, you don't want to start doing some of the stuff you were doing that wasn't working. And just because you were used to it, keep doing it. So I really was really methodical. And it's very painful, by the way, when you look yourself in the mirror and you don't like what you see. You know, it's very painful when you sit down and think about the mistakes you've made, the stuff that you did that you thought were good ideas, but when you really know in your heart they suck, they just weren't good. And, you know, I had plenty of them. I had plenty of both. So I really was trying to dissect the things that, and the first company that came to mind that was an obvious was the first company I started, which was, you know, which we named the Steiner Agency, which was back to square one.
So in other words, Brandon started his life in sports marketing and he still had a passion for it and also still had a lot of athletes who trusted him. So he decided to get back into it. And this was invigorating. It felt like an awakening. But he didn't just want to redo the things he'd already done, which is why he spent more time thinking about how to reinvent sports collectibles as well. And this goes back to something he was thinking about a long time ago.
I was on my treadmill and I was like, you know, our numbers were flat. This is about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I finally just stopped, got off the treadmill. I said, Brandon, you got to be kidding me. You're living off of yesterday's news. You're eating, you know, you're eating and drinking yesterday's drinks and soup. Like, you suck. Where's that? I mean, if you were that, and this is a conversation I'm having in my gym with myself. I'm like, if you were that good, and I did get a lot of athletes from Muhammad Ali to Eli Manning to Derek Jeter. If you were that good, like, why is not every player lined up outside your door wanting to do a deal with you? If you were that good after this many years, you would have everyone. Even though I had a good amount of players, I didn't have everyone. And the reason was, is that players, they didn't feel involvement. There's a thing called customer involvement. It's a one-on-one tool that I learned in college, which was, you know, you have to get your customers involved in the process in developing your business. And it's a simple concept that I lost sight on. We used to go to our customers and ask them what they wanted, what products they wanted to get signed, what products they were looking for. Then all of a sudden, we just got caught up with, we would sign players, just do whatever we wanted. So I wanted to come up with a platform that gave customer involvement, but also gave the players a say.
That is why he'd originally started thinking about tech. But he just couldn't get anywhere with it at his old parent company. Now he was able to build something himself. His old company was gone, but his new plan was not. So he started thinking, what would it take to rethink collectibles? And then he had an idea. First, his new company wouldn't just be a place where he sold stuff. Instead, it would function more like a community of collectors who could buy and sell and say what they wanted, and there'd be an auction platform as well.
But the real differentiator with the site is that players can go on the site and sell stuff directly to consumers, and we're helping the players on the back end. So there's a whole bunch of players, and we'll announce these player websites in March, but there's a whole bunch of players who are building out their websites, and we are going to be the back end for the players so that fans and clients can go to these, they can go on Collectible Exchange and buy and trade, which is cool. But at the same time, they can go on to the Collectible Exchange and they'll see all these different player websites and buy and order stuff or send in stuff directly to the players. And they'll be dealt with directly by the players. We're just going to help the players on the back end fulfill or ship and execute some of the products that the players want to do.
Which is pretty smart, right? I mean, if an athlete signs a football, it becomes a collectible that someone else usually makes money off of. So why wouldn't an athlete be able to sign a football and sell it themselves? Or just dig up some stuff that they saved from old games or whatever, you know, stuff that's just sitting in a warehouse somewhere, and sell that? That's the marketplace Brandon had now identified. He took the thing that he's known for, which is collectibles, and translated it for a new era where athletes are entrepreneurs and fans want direct access.
We've heard from a couple hundred players already that want to engage and want to sell their stuff. So, and it's not big enough where they have trophies and rings, but they're cool. Their game use bats, their cleats, they're things that people will want.
You know, I really like the way that he's thinking through all this. Brandon had started with what he knows, which means that he can see where the missing opportunities are. I mean, he looked at himself and was like, what am I missing? Where are my failings? Where could I have been better? And the answers to those hard questions guided his next steps. His own failure was the data that informed what is hopefully his next success. It's a really valuable formula for anyone in a position of moving on. It means that you're never leaving empty-handed. You're leaving with insights that nobody else has that are just waiting for you to activate. But of course, you can't keep everything. And for Brandon, that loss is particularly personal. Because for as much as Brandon is trying to move on from his old company, there's one thing he can never actually get back, and that's his name. Steiner Sports is the name of his old company. It has his name, which means he sold his name back when he sold Steiner Sports. And so in a way, he is now competing in this marketplace against his own name, which made me wonder.
Is it weird to not have control of a business that has your name?
It's hurtful. It's a little weird, yeah. It's a little weird because people, you know, the name, you know, I spent 30 years. And if anybody out there listening knows me, I mean, you know, I put everything I could into that name, into that brand and that business. And I think that doesn't happen often. So when I run into people on the street, they have a tendency of bringing it up and wanting to talk about it when there's not much to say. You know, I wish them luck. I mean, I try not to get in their way. I'm not here to get in the way of what the old company was. It's just that it's weird. You know, I don't know my name anymore.
Yeah. And you refer to the company by its name, of course, mm-hmm. but it's funny to hear you refer to Steiner as a thing that isn't you. It's so natural to you because I don't know what else you would do. The company's name was Steiner, but
I cried. I mean, I cried. I cried because, you know, I put my heart and soul into that company, into that name and what it meant. And obviously the authentication of what we were putting out was, there was no minute, you know, I was a 23 hour, 59 minutes a day guy thinking about what's the next thing I could do to wow my customer. What's the next thing I could do to flip them out, blow them away, get them excited. What's that gift that she's going to walk in with to give her husband or to give her son that, you know, they're going to cry. And I know that I did that successfully. So I'm happy because I got those letters to confirm it. And I know in my heart, when I see people and they tell me their houses are filled with my stuff, now I'm hoping I can help resell it again. And I'm hoping I can come up with a platform to get this, you know, the same people I've been dealing with in some cases, just looking at the business differently.
It sounds to me the way that you talk about the new company and having heard you talk about how you were eager to think bigger and think different and not just do the same thing over and over again until it's all over, that, I mean, you sound like you're in a pretty great place right now.
I mean, you know, listen, I can't sit here and write a blog to a few hundred thousand people and you know, I do my online stuff and tell people, you know, not to quit, not to age out. And, you know, your best day is not your yesterday's. You know, I can't sing that song and then not want to listen to the music myself. And, you know, I've had to go back and listen to a bunch of my talks. You know, I speak around the country and I've definitely gone back and listened to a few of my conversations because, you know, I don't want to let myself down as far as what I know I could still do. I know I'm a good person. So regardless of whether I succeed another day or not, I know that, you know, I'm a good person. I've earned well by me and my family. But on the other hand, I love working. I still like a little bit of the money grab. I still like some of the stuff I'm able to do with the money as far as the charities and the community work, which is probably my biggest drive at this point in my life. I'm getting there. I'm not all there because, you know, listen, I come from a really strong brand that was connected with a lot of strong components. And now I'm back grinding and groveling, you know, and I've been down that road before. So, you know, mentally I'm in that, you know, I'm climbing up the stairs mode. I'm not feeling all glorious and you know, I'm not feeling like the way I was feeling necessarily. But on the other hand, I'm extremely excited about the unknown, and I'm living all the things that an entrepreneur should live, which is finding joy in the unknown, getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, and not being afraid to make a mistake and not being afraid to take some risks. And that's what being an entrepreneur is all about. And if I'm going to be a real entrepreneur from head to toe, meaning from cradle to my death, then yeah, I'm going to go for it. And hopefully that people out there that are a little bit older, that maybe if, you know, some things have happened to them, they're not going to quit and give out, and they're able to reset and refire.
And at any stage of your career, I don't think you can ask for more than that. You find the joy in the unknown, as Brandon says. No matter what came before, what comes next is your choice. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.